Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, how are we doing this week?
Doing good, Jim. Doing good. A lot of activity on all fronts in the United States of America, Penn State recruiting and others.
Definitely a lot going on. Landon, we can't get on the air, get our show on without at least acknowledging what happened this weekend. An assassination attempt on the presidential candidate right here in our home state of Pennsylvania. Just a crazy story. And as you and I are recording, some of the facts are still coming out, some of the stories, all just very crazy. And I don't know, just real quickly, you're 22 years old. You're not old enough to be alive when there were so many of those assassinations going on. Unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember some of those that happened in the 60s. I remember I was actually your age when Reagan got shot. I was in college at the time. So it's just a crazy world.
Yeah, and I'd say from my standpoint, like you said, I haven't been alive. The last, it was 81, was the last presidential assassination attempt. And to me and kind of people around my age, it kind of felt like that was a thing of the past. That was a thing of the 80s, 60s, 70s. This type of thing doesn't happen anymore. It's not possible. We have too good of Secret Service. Everything is too good for this to happen. So, definitely a lot of questions to be answered. So I'm very curious and interested to see how this is going to play out. But I'm sure we have a lot more information to learn about and get into before there's any full conclusions to be drawn.
I just want to point out one thing, and this is not from one political side or the other, Landon, but I'll relay it to a story. The Reagan assassination attempt, I actually found it out while I was in a classroom at Penn State. The professor, it was in one of the large classrooms where it's like a, theater. I mean, there's hundreds of students, and she let the class know what had happened, and somebody started applauding. Now, I did not particularly like this professor, but she just gave a stare in that direction where that person was applauding, and it stopped that fast. Just the look she gave, I had a newfound respect for her. And I think of that when I see anything on social media that was, the type of thing that I'm talking about. Yeah. Any kind of violence like this is just... Yeah. Can't be acceptable.
Jim, where do you think I was when I heard about the news?
In a classroom? Let's see. You were at a bar drinking. All right.
No, Jim. I was on the golf course.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah. Another thing that's interesting, and we'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow, but I think, back then in 81, there wasn't a social media. You heard about it from the news. Now, we have, every single second we get an update to our phones. So it's a much different world we live in. I feel like think about JFK. Some people didn't hear about that for hours. I mean, everybody in the country knew about it within 5 minutes of it happening.
Well, I had visitors in. I had my brother and his wife and my niece and her husband visiting, and we were all outside by the pool. So no one was looking at their phones or devices. My other brother called hey, did you see what happened? Within a minute, my niece's husband and their young folks in their 20s, he had the video out on his phone showing us. It was, that fast. So you're right. It is very different how quickly we all react to that. It is a crazy world, Landon. Crazy, scary world. Fortunate that Donald Trump was not hurt seriously, but let's not forget that there were people who, at least one person was killed, a couple others injured. And even, I feel bad for the family of the shooter. I mean, could you imagine this was your child, your son who did this? That's gotta be just a terrible, terrible feeling. So our, I think I'm speaking for both of us. Our prayers go out to all those who were affected by this.
Absolutely.
So, all right.
It's not Penn State now.
Yeah, it's not an easy segue.
No.
It's not an easy segue, but let's make the shift. And, you know, Landon, we do have, and we'll tie it in together. There's been a couple recruiting announcements the last couple days that have not gone Penn State's way. Some of them a little concerning. But I want to start the Penn State conversation with, I saw an interview with Keandre Lambert Smith. He had with Auburn People. I don't know if you took note in the article, Landon. He was actually one of the guys interviewing him was the manager of the Auburn Collective. Okay. So got to understand where that conversation comes from. And I'm sure Lambert Smith felt this was going out to an Auburn audience. I doubt he even thought in his head that this would end up going to a Penn State football audience. Unfortunately for him, it did, though, Landon.
Yeah, it did, Jim. You know, definitely, I think he did an okay job of not being too intentional of his words at Penn State. But I think the biggest one that stuck out was a bit of a shot at Drew Aller. So I want to read you this quote from the Keandre Lambert Smith interview that he was talking about Peyton Thorne, their quarterback at Auburn, who was at Michigan State. He said, "I would say Peyton Thorne, I kind of block out the noise. I know the media is the media. Just being around Peyton, the number one guy, Peyton came from the Big Ten. He beat me at Penn State already. So just being around him, hearing how he controls the team at the end of a workout, the leadership, I think that gives the offense a sense of confidence right there. And that was kind of lacking where I came from." If that's not a shot at Drew Aller, I don't really know what is. There was a couple other shots that he took, nothing, but I think that was far and away the biggest outstanding quote that I saw, where it was a shot not only, you know, at the Penn State offense, but at Drew Aller. And I think at a different time, he also just said, this offense just feels, you know, I feel confident in it. I never really felt, they basically said he felt a lack of confidence in the Penn State offense as a whole.
As a Penn State guy, an actual player on the team, how do you react to that?
You know, I think there, you're right. There is a piece of that where he's almost trying to get the Auburn fans kind of rallied up. You know, we did have that two game series the past 2 years. So there is some of that, but you know, I wouldn't have said that. I don't think that was the best idea to say. But hey, I mean, I'm sure that's probably how he felt. There was a lot of discourse here. You know, any wide receiver that thinks they're a top dog and they're not getting the ball enough, they're going to say, hey, it's probably something wrong with either the quarterback or the offensive coordinator. They're going to blame somebody. They're not going to blame themselves. I'll tell you that much. Very few wide receivers, when they're not getting the ball, are going to blame themselves. So, you know, I definitely think that was, you know, clearly that bridge is burned. Let's put it that way. He's not saying that. If him and Drew Aller are still going to, let's say, you know, get some work in the offseason, maybe they both get in the NFL, I don't think they will be getting together for any workouts, Jim, after that type of comment. So let's just put it that way. I think that kind of solidifies that there is a clear bridge that has been burned, not only really between them two, but between every, and I don't know. I don't have any clue if they are friends, if they talk, whatever. I have no clue on that. But for him to say that, I would have to assume that there is not too much of a loving friendship there anymore for him to kind of take that shot.
Yeah, it's interesting. There were several quotes from this article that surprised me. Now, you said you felt like he did a pretty good job of like softening it. I don't think so, Landon. I think, you know, like you've said to me before, you guys have been trained on what to say, what not to say. And part of it was interesting, like you said, not to discredit Penn State. It's kind of like if I were to say to you, Landon, no offense to you, Landon, but I think you're a big old wuss. Well, usually when someone says no offense, the next thing they're going to say is going to offend you. Okay. So I felt like he did that quite a bit. And, you know, he says, well, I just felt like it was a time for a fresh start. Not discrediting Penn State. Then the other one was, he said, he wasn't able to at Penn State show the type of player that he was that Penn State didn't. But then he points out, oh, I want to help a team no matter if I have 10 catches or two catches or blocking, which I did a lot of that at Penn State. It's almost like, you know, after I say, you didn't get to see how good I am at, you know, catching a deep ball, but I'm willing to do anything. But Penn State had me blocking all the time, which was a mistake because I had so much more to offer.
That's kind of like the go-to, like, coach speak for a wide receiver of saying, you know, I'll do anything. I'll block. I'll put my body on the line. I'm sorry, 99% of them, when they say that, I don't believe them. unless you show that on tape. For example, I'm a huge Steelers fan. Most people know Roman Wilson was a really, really good blocker. And there's videos of him driving people into the dirt. Now, if he comes out and says that, I believe it because there is stuff to back that up. But when a wide receiver just comes out and says, you know, hey, I'll do it all, I don't really tend to believe them. They're kind of just saying that to save some face. But yeah, there was, you're right. Maybe I think that assessment was kind of wrong on my part. He tried to take some of the blows off by saying, you know, hey, you know, no disrespect, but there was some clear bad blood that he felt he was not being utilized correctly. He felt that his quarterback and the offense was not getting him the ball in the right time and space. So that's, you know, he made his feelings clear. I don't think we're going to get any response from anybody else on our side. But, hey, it was 4 years, Jim. Had a while. Everybody kind of thought, especially after that West Virginia game. I remember even I had someone ask me, and I said, oh, yeah, he's out of here after this year. He's going to the league, no question. I mean, this is after he put up, I think, 2 touchdowns, 120-something yards. And I thought, hey, no question. He's about to be Drew Aller's guy this year. It's over. He's going to have 100 every game, a couple touchdowns. That was not the case. West Virginia – he had I don't think he broke 100 yards again the whole season. Got close in the 80s and 90s. But, you know, a wide receiver is going to take that to heart. You're in your fourth year and you're not getting the ball. I think there is a ton of other factors that were going on to why he wasn't getting the ball. But, you know, those type of wide receivers, if they have that idea in their head, I'm the number one guy and I'm not getting the ball, they're going to feel some type of way. And clearly this was kind of Keandre Lambert-Smith's opportunity to, I guess, take a little bit of shots and let everybody know how he feels.
And like I said, I get the feeling he was playing to his audience and he felt it was an Auburn audience. I don't think he believed or even gave it a thought that Penn State people would see it. We're going to then segue from that to a little more that was going on with Penn State and recruiting. We're going to tie it together. But first, when we come back, Landon, I've got one last question on Lambert Smith and his quotes from the story. We'll do that when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football, and our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Landon, we're into a new month, new incentives, new plans. You, my friend, will probably be happy to hear this one. Specials on the 2024 Ridgeline, rates as low as 1.9%, and also some great lease offers. There's also some great deals on the 24 Accord and the Accord Hybrid, rates as low as 2.9%. Also, some great lease offers. Check it out. That is Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. You can check them out online or at their showroom on West College Avenue, Landon.
Yeah, Jim, I was actually just hosting a quarterback club event. If anybody doesn't know that, it's kind of fans around State College. We bring some players in and talk. I had multiple people come up to me and reference the Honda Ridgeline, Jim, that I'm asking me, am I going to get it? So our listeners, they're taking note. They know how much we love Honda over there. And yes, I am still contemplating it. We're talking with Matt over there. I'm going to get in it eventually, but I love that Honda Ridgeline.
I saw Matt just the other day, and I had that conversation, and he's excited about putting you in that Ridgeline. So right. He's going to give you a great deal.
We're going to talk about it for sure.
That is a great vehicle. I'm just telling you, you got to have it by the fall for our tailgates, Landon. Yep. That's my only.
Listen, the manager Honda Matt, he plays a lot of golf. Maybe I might have to be on that day. I'll have to challenge him to a round of golf to knock some off of my car lease.
I can see that. He's going to put up a Ridgeline truck. When are you going to put up, Landon?
My pride, I guess. I don't know. I don't got much.
All right, let's get back to our Penn State football conversation. We're talking about this article that we both read. Keandre Lambert-Smith, he was talking to Auburn people, and I'm sure that's who he assumed was his audience. And I found there was something fascinating, and probably I read more into it than it deserves, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway. He talked about, there's a quote where he talks about how hard he pushes himself and pushes his teammates around him to be better. And the reason why I think it struck me was I got this sense every conversation this spring about Julian Fleming coming over to Penn State was, wow, it's great to have this leader. He's really pushing people, pushing himself, and that's a different feel at Penn State. They both can't be right here because the insinuation was, you know, we weren't really seeing that from Keandre Lambert-Smith on this team. Mm. So you were teammates, Landon, just between you and I.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I think that I'll say this to anybody, and this would happen in the offensive line. If I, you know, let's say I'm still playing and some guy comes in, takes my job essentially, and then I leave, there's going to be some spitefulness. You're going to be looking at stuff and them saying, hey, he's doing a great job leading. I would take that to heart. And wherever I go next, I'm going to say, okay, you know, the guy that took my job, he's doing a great job leading. I'm going to come in here and talk about how I'm going to be a leader and try to be a leader, et cetera. So I do think there is some of that when, you know, when that type of thing happens, where you almost look at this guy and look at him as someone that took something from you. I'm not inside the head of Keandre Lambert-Smith at all. I'm just saying this is how I would see it. Someone that kind of took something from you, took your position away. You know, I would have some spitefulness towards them. And then they come back and praise that person that took your job for, you know, bringing everybody along, leading a group of wide receivers that really you should have been the leader of. There's going to be some animosity there, Jim. So I do think those comments, I think it's not too hard to connect the dots on some of these Keandre Lambert-Smith quotes on who he was talking about and kind of what he meant when he was saying some things. It doesn't seem to be too difficult to infer any of that. But and like I said, this is all inferring. This is not anything that he is fully, you know, said 100%, but.
And I think it's important to point out, Landon, that you mean no disrespect to Landon Smith. Right?
He did. Jim is poking fun. If you want to see the transcript on this, you got to look it up. But I think he said no disrespect to Penn State like three or four times while just absolutely ragging on us.
while disrespecting Penn State. And the one other quote, I'll just throw it out there. I know we kind of alluded to it. I haven't been he was talking about how he feels like their offense, Auburn, everything, they've got it figured out. And I haven't been part of an offense where I felt like that. We've got it. Well, the only offense he was part of prior was Penn State. So who can he be talking about? But the other part of this, I feel, as he talks several times about Auburn being the best team in the country, the best. It'll be interesting to see. I think Auburn has and by the way, I mean no disrespect to Auburn and the program, Landon, when I say this. They've been a major disappointment in the Southeast Conference. And this year, they're over-under on number of wins is 7.5, okay? That's not a playoff team. That's not a national championship team. And I want to see what they're like after they play Oklahoma, Georgia, Missouri, Texas A&M, and Alabama. So,
oh wow, that's quite a schedule. Yeah, we'll see if those quotes are still still staying the same after those Alabama and Georgia losses. No hate. I actually still talk to Keandre. He's still one of my friends, but we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out after those. See how those comments change.
Well, what was fascinating is I went online to get some background information, Landon, and I stumbled upon a podcast from a Auburn podcaster, and he had on a Texas A&M podcaster, and I believe those teams, they play the next to last week of the season, if I have it correct. Yes, and the conversation was how that game is so important. That could determine, like, you know, the winners going to the playoffs or whatever. I'm sorry. Don't see it. And by the way, after the A&M game, Auburn gets to play Alabama. So not sure how well they're going to fare there. They can prove me wrong, Landon. But I said we would relate this to what else is going on. And not to be just a total, you know, Penn State homer and all this. Penn State, the recruiting, speaking of the wide receiver room, two recruits that it looked like they were coming to Penn State. More concerning was probably the first one, who was a Pennsylvania guy who ended up going to South Carolina. Then a Texas guy who, again, there were predictions of him coming to Penn State. He ends up going to Baylor, of all places, Landon. And I think you saw his announcement and what that was like.
Jim, it was one of the most confusing commitment announcements I've ever seen. Taz Williams he's from Texas. And his top four was it was Michigan, Penn State, a couple other. Baylor wasn't even in his top four. There was a lot of commotion the days leading up to it that Baylor came in with a big chunk of money, threw it at the kid, and he said, okay, I'm in. Because as before that, he was like a 70-80% crystal ball to Penn State. It was like, hey, we got Taz Williams. And I even remember seeing when I'm drawing a blank on the other wide receiver that's from PA that committed to South Carolina.
Lex Cyrus.
When I saw when he committed, they said, hey, you know, it's fine. Taz Williams is a better prospect anyways. I saw a couple of fans saying that. And then I saw comments under that saying, hey, don't get your hopes up. I'm here in Baylor. Is just throwing the bag at this kid. I tune in. I'm sitting there yesterday, and I say, oh, it's, you know, 4 p.m. Let me check out, has this kid committed? Well, I go on Twitter. It's actually still live. I think it was Rivals or one of them. They were live. They were streaming it live. Well, this kid proceeds to pull out a wheel, you know, one of those spinning wheels, and has each four programs on it. He spins it. It lands on Michigan, puts a Michigan hat on, proceeds to throw the Michigan hat off of him, and then, like, walks around the tarp, you can't really see him, comes back out with either, you know, one of his coaches, uncles, I'm not sure who he was, and then just, like, turns something around, this, like, piece, and it just says, like, Baylor on it. It was the most confusing commitment. Like, there was no rhyme or reason. It made me angry, and it almost made me happy that he didn't come here, because I was like, what is this? Why would you bring out a wheel and almost have this facade of, like, I'm going to just, like, let this decide where I'm going to go? I mean, obviously, he wasn't doing that. It was just so confusing. I even posted about it on Twitter. I'm like, this is where we're at now. We're bringing out a wheel for our commitments. It was just so stupid. And, you know, obviously I was a little angry that he decided not to come. But, Jim, not only is this class struggling as a whole, but the wide receivers. It's like we cannot hit on the wide receivers. And I don't know. Maybe they were reading Keandre Lambert Smith's interview. I don't know what was going on. But, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm not in the mind of these wide receivers, but I guess the consensus feeling is that these top wide receivers feel like they're not going to come here and succeed like they could in a different type of offense. And they feel like, hey, that's not somewhere where I'm going to thrive in a Penn State offense as a star wide receiver. That's kind of the consensus that I've seen.
Well, I'm concerned more that it's not just wide receiver, but these battles that Penn State is losing. Well, first of all, what is it? The top seven, top eight players in Pennsylvania all have gone elsewhere. Now, over the years, you've seen that with guys who are the very top of the class. They're five-star kind of guys who will end up at Ohio State or Alabama, that kind of recruit. And it's like, you just got to acknowledge that's going to happen. But Penn State lost the best quarterback recruit out of Pennsylvania in years. Not to Ohio State, not to Georgia, but to Missouri. They lose a wide receiver they really want to Baylor. Another one to South Carolina. And by the way, Glendon, I mean no disrespect to those programs, right?
Yeah.
No disrespect. But, you know, there were days that Penn State would not lose recruits to those programs.
Yeah, look, I mean, inside we lost the top eight guys in PA. We had number 9 and number 10 signed. And inside that top eight, we lost guys to South Carolina, to Duke, to Missouri. I think there's 2 Ohio States in there, which isn't too much of a surprise. But losing out to those schools, it puts a bad taste, I think, in a lot of the fans' mouth. And it sucks after such a good, an electric month in June, Jim, where it felt like we were getting 3 commits a week. And it felt like, okay, you know, we're building something good here. And then turn around and you just take these big losses on the recruiting trail. It really hurts and it sucks. And I do think that the wide receiver position, though, is the biggest question mark. It doesn't, you know, we have not had a star wide receiver really since Parker Washington. And Drew Aller needs that. So it's something that we have to start recruiting better with. And I honestly don't think there's any way else to put it. But these guys in high school, they need to see the production. They need to see it on the field for them to want to come here.
Very good. That's it for quarter 2. Stick around. Lots more to go.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Landon. We're talking Penn State football, a lot going on. And we were taking a little bit of a negative take on some of the Penn State recruiting. They lost 2 out on 2 wide receivers that they really wanted. One going to South Carolina, another going to Baylor. And Landon, you made reference to after having a really good month, and they did. I don't want to take anything away from that, but I still have a concern. A lot of the players that were brought in, people want to say, hey, they're 4 stars. And I think it's a little bit deceptive because there's such a vast range from high 4-star to low 4-star. And just so folks understand, the 5 stars, there's only about 30 of them in the country. Okay. Then for 4 stars, there's like 400 of them, Landon. So the difference between a high 4-star and a 5-star, that's a lot closer than a high 4-star and a low 4-star. Mm-hmm. So I use, and I've talked about this a couple times on a couple shows, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I think it's worth mentioning. Do you know how many top 100 players are in the top 20, in the top 100 players of this Penn State recruiting class, 2025?
How many?
One. And he's like 96th, okay? And I know there's multiple services. I'm just talking about the one I was looking at. Do you know how many top 100 players Oregon has?
How many?
4. Mm. Do you know how many top 100 players Ohio State has?
Oh, God. I don't even want to know.
10. Mm. 10. They also have 3 of the top 6. 3 of the top 6. Penn State has 1 of the top 100. And if you go even further, top 200, Oregon has 9. Ohio State has 14. Penn State has 3. I'm concerned about the recruiting, Landon.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assessment, Jim. I think there's a lot of things to point to as to why that is. I think most people are pointing the finger at NIL. What's going on with that? You know, why can we not compete? So there is that chunk, but that's going to show on the field at the end of the day. If we have 1 guy in the top 100 and Ohio State has 10, that apps, that product, absolutely translates to the field. You can only do so much with so little. So at the end of the day, you got to figure that out. And I do want to talk about, and we talked about this too, it feels like we're having to settle for a lot of our second options. You know, for example, when Alvin Henderson decided to decommit, go back to Auburn, we got, I forget who he was, but we picked up another four-star running back the day after he decommitted. But clearly they probably wanted Alvin Henderson first. And speaking of him, real quick, we got stuff like this going on where Alvin Henderson, and it was talked about, he put out a video when he was up here at Penn State for his official visit. You know, come, this is home. This is a family, a brotherhood. Come join. This is the best place. 5 days after making that video, decommits. So it was already like, why did he do that? That was disrespectful. Well, comes back around. He was doing an interview over the past, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, and he makes the statement that while he was committed for Penn State and, you know, made that video, he was actually actively recruiting for Auburn. You know, I just, that's the place that we're at, where guys, and that I'm sorry, you know, that makes me almost just go in the full direction that he was committed to Penn State to leverage money from Auburn. If you're committed to Penn State and still recruiting for Auburn, that means you know you're going to go back there. I don't think there was any other thing that he was doing except leveraging some money to try to get more and more from Auburn, Jim. I don't see, if he made that statement, I was recruiting for Auburn the whole time, why did you commit to us? Why, you know, it's just that type of stuff is what angers me.
And, you know, something has to be done, Landon. And I've always been of the mindset that NIL is fine. Players deserve to make money, can make as much money as they can. But there's clearly something wrong. They missed the mark when they said NIL was supposed to be outside of the university itself. It's not dependent on you attending. That's obviously not the case. As you said, players being recruited, players coming in through the portal, it's obviously about money to get them there. And I'm not going to accuse any specific school of doing something wrong because they're all doing it, Landon. Mm. And there's got to be a way to just change the process. I'm not sure how, but, you know, there's some hope with that. You know, the universities, if that agreement comes through where the university could allocate around $20 million to go to the student athletes, perhaps that'll at least slow it down, even though NIL will still be part of it. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that, Landon. Mm. All right. Time to really shift gears again, Landon. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're doing something new on the show. I'm calling it our six pack. Okay. Just because six pack is something we could all relate to, but what it is I'm going to request a list from each one of the guys. I already did this with Andy earlier this week. I'm going to do it with Chris. I'm going to do it with Jeff. I'm going to give you a question, and I want you to give me six examples or six options here. And here's my question. Outside of Penn State, Landon, okay, you can't use Penn State, who are your six favorite college football teams? And it could be for whatever reason. And by favorite, teams you just like to watch. Whatever, you have friends who are on the team. You like their uniforms. Whatever it is, I want to know. Penn State has a bye week. All these teams are playing on television. Who are you going to flip on and watch play?
Yeah, Jim, this first one is going to get a lot of boos from the Penn State fans, but I still have a couple, but I had very, very many close friends on Michigan. So obviously never when we were playing them, but I had, you know, my roommate, Blake Corum, in high school, lived with him. I mean, very, very close friend of mine. I had a couple other guys on Michigan. So when we were not playing them, I hate to say it, I was rooting for them a little bit. There was, because I want my guys to do really well. A lot of guys from back in Maryland that I played with. So I got to put Michigan up there. One team that I loved, and I was very close with Caleb Williams too. So I got to give USC one of the nods. And one of the reasons
Oh, I was going to comment before you moved on to each team. You don't have to give me all six. No, we're doing one at a time. All right, and then I'm going to be critical of you for them.
Okay? All right, let's go Michigan. This might be the
most
critical.
That's how it's going to part.
All right.
No disrespect to you. No offense, Landon. You're right. Penn State fans will find that hard to swallow. But I think the one thing that we could all relate to is if you have a friend go somewhere. It doesn't matter, you know, what the school is. The personal connection overrides what you think about the school or their arrival or whatever else there is. I don't think anyone could give should give you a hard time for that.
Jim, it still hurts. I will tell you, as much as I wanted, I was really happy to see my guys win the national championship 2 years in a row. I there was a big part of me that did not want them to win. Trust me, just playing Michigan and having to hear that national championship, all that was not fun, but I was still happy to see, you know, my guys succeed at that high of a level. But yeah, my second team has to be USC for a multitude of reasons. And I'm going to go mainly based off last season. This is how I'm going to base it. Caleb Williams is a really good friend of mine. I played against him every single year in high school. Never lost. Just want to put that out there. same team as Olu Fashanu. So I always hold that over their heads that my team, Good Counsel, never lost to Gonzaga. But really good friend of mine. And Jim, I loved turning on USC when it was 10 p.m. All the games were over. But look, you still got West Coast after dark. And then watching Caleb Williams throw 6-7 touchdowns in a high-scoring game, I love that. I love the Pac-12 after dark, which is obviously no longer Pac-12 with USC. But I was a big fan of watching his game and just watching USC light it up. I enjoyed that.
You know, I like that answer because more for what you're talking about, those West Coast games. You know, it's like, especially even if there was a home game at Penn State, I attended, you go to it, you were there early for tailgating, you know, do all the things that come with tailgating, you watch the game, then for me, you know, the long drive home, all of that going on, your whole day, all you want to do then, Landon, sit back in the Barca lounger, flip on the TV. Oh, look at that. A good West Coast game. And, you know, the teams like USC chucking the ball around. Oregon has had fun teams to watch. I'm okay. I'm more than okay with that one. That one's a fun pick. That's a good one. Plus, all USC right. with their history, that, you know, makes an old guy, you know, just really enjoy that kind of thing. So the Blue Bloods, I think that one's an okay pick.
I appreciate you giving me the green light on that one. I my number three pick, I would have to go, like I said, basing it off of this past year, I would have to go with Florida State. I loved Jordan Travis. I fell in love that Florida State always plays on that first Monday, I feel like. They always would play on that first Monday of the season. And I just always remember watching them, and I just like how they played. I like Jordan Travis, how he played. And there's always, you can always tell, even from the outside, when a team is really clicking and they weren't supposed to be, and they're, it's like, okay, these guys might go to the playoffs, and that really wasn't an expectation when the season started. That gets really exciting, and it's kind of easy to get behind as just a fan viewing. It's like, okay, this is a team, they're not too cocky. They are led really well by a good quarterback, a good coach. And so it was just kind of easy to root for them. So when Jordan Travis broke his leg, I think everybody was just like, that sucks. I can't believe they couldn't catch that break. But I was really rooting for them. I like I said, there was, you know, Alabama's always good, that type of thing. It really wasn't that feel of Florida State. It was like, okay, they're kind of having a bit of a magical season. I want to see them do well. So I was somewhat rooting for them this past year, and it hurt to see them kind of fizzle out and didn't get that nod simply because Jordan Travis was injured.
That's another good pick. And the thing with Florida State, I think most think of them as having this wonderful history. Me, the old guy, I'll go way, way back, Landon. When Bobby Bowden first got there, Florida State was not this great program with a great history. And in fact, they did some crazy things. You know, they were not an elite team. So to win those big games, they had to do something different. They weren't bringing in the same talent as the Blue Bloods were. So they were actually an exciting team. They would do, you know, the crazy stuff, the fake punts or the onside kick or, you know, different things like that. They were very creative early on, which made them a fun watch. And then, like you said, just this past year, yeah, I get it. That could be an easy team to jump on. You mentioned them playing Alabama early. I remember watching that game, and, you know, maybe rooting against Alabama, but yes, that meant rooting for Florida State. All right, we got halfway through your six-pack, Landon. We'll get to the other three when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Yep, that's the place where I got my great Honda CRV. Treated me really well. It was a great buying experience. Got a great price. By the way, I love my Honda CRV. Fantastic vehicle. But they also have some great deals coming up on Landon's favorite, the Ridgeline, with rates as low as 1.9%. Also on the Accord and the Accord Hybrid, rates as low as 2.9%. They also have a great selection of Honda certified used vehicles at fantastic rates. Check them out. They're on West College Avenue. That's Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. All right, Landon, we've been going through your list of favorite teams other than Penn State. Was it just a fun topic to have? I know we did this with Andy last week. Andy's group of teams had a real Southern flavor to them. It was, I had forgotten, he had lived in Georgia as a youth. Okay. So he had a real affinity for the Georgia Bulldogs, well, Herschel Walker, who came from Georgia.
I will tell you, though, Maryland will not make this list. I have a heavy hatred in my heart for the University of Maryland. I think that gets instilled in you. If you play football at Penn State or even go to Penn State, you just hate the University of Maryland. So they will not make the list. Let me put that out there. But also,
well, you know what? Let me interrupt. We are going to do the six teams you root against. Okay.
Okay. That's, well, spoiler alert. You might have just heard number one. So
it's okay because I knew that was going to be on your list. Okay. Yeah. I know you well enough. I knew Maryland was going to be there. So you didn't. No surprise.
Except when Maryland's playing Ohio State, though. That's the only time because they always seem to give them a run for their money. And that's the only time I'll root for them. But we'll get into that another time.
I did the show with Andy, I put out just a couple of mine. I'll give you one of those that I told Andy. I have Rutgers down as one of my teams that I root for.
Okay, I'm not against that.
I've got a buddy who is a big Rutgers fan. So, and he's my, you know, when the holiday with the family, the other family, not mine. Yeah. And it's like I get bored and whatever. Well, Mark will be there. And it's like we just kind of look at each other like, oh, my God, I can't stand this conversation. We just kind of wander off and start talking college football. So I now root for Rutgers. The other part, what I like about Rutgers, I think it's the perfect coach for Rutgers and the attitude. Rutgers, you played against them. I just get the sense that Rutgers, they want to turn a game into a rock fight, which just seems like what a New Jersey team should be like.
They do, Jim. It's you're right. And it's easy to root for teams that you just beat on all the time because you don't feel threatened by them. So that's kind of easy. But I got to get back to my list. Coming in at number four, and a lot of these teams are – I might be basing this off NCAA 25, or actually it's technically called College Football 25. The video game comes out tomorrow, Jim. So I'm going to be playing with some of these teams, obviously Penn State first. But this is a team I would really want to play with, Texas. Couple reasons. I am somewhat of a Quinn Ewers fan. I don't know why. I kind of just like his swagger.
It's the mullet.
It's the mullet. It's easy. We got Arch Manning behind him, so I'm always tuning in. Is Arch going to get a second to get in? I would root well for him just because he's a Manning. It's just, you know, fun to see. They always have these explosive either running backs or wide receivers, it seems like, that run 4.2s, whether it's one or the other. So they're just kind of fun to watch. And you're right, and I feel like a lot of my answers are Southern. just because we don't really play those teams, so I don't have this bad blood towards them. So I would have to put Texas at number four because they're just fun to watch. They're going to be playing Alabama, Georgia, these other teams. I'm going to be rooting for them in those games because you hate them. You always root against the big dogs. I'm excited to see kind of what Texas is going to do and you know, two really good quarterbacks. So, and Jim, I want to throw this out there.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of animosity towards the fact that Arch Manning was rated backup quarterback, by the way, hasn't really played. He was rated an 85, I believe, overall, 85 or 86 overall by EA Sports and hasn't really played. There was a lot of animosity about that. People saying he doesn't deserve it. But you know, hey, nonetheless, I'm curious to see, you know, how these guys are going to perform.
Well, that is a first world issue. being concerned about how Arch Manning was rated on the video game. But what I like that you talked about, and I hadn't thought about this, but the matchups, Texas and Oklahoma play against any of Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss, any of Texas A&M, even which especially Texas playing Texas A&M, those are going to be just great games to watch. And it's overall what I like about the new realignment of conferences is we're going to see games we haven't seen. We're going to see, you know, Ohio State play Oregon. I know they played each other a couple times. Penn State, USC. Those are going to be great matchups. Good reason, good pick with Texas. All right, we still got a couple more to come from you.
Yeah, Jim, you just mentioned them. My number five team, and maybe this might change very quickly as we play them a little bit more. But my number five team is Oregon. Especially this past year, I loved watching them. I loved watching Bo Nix. It felt like it was just explosive. They could put up 50 points in a blink of an eye in a game, and it was just fun to watch. They have these wide receivers that can just break open a game with Troy Franklin. Now they have a couple of their really, really speedy wide receivers this coming year. It's just sometimes for me, it's those fun offenses to watch that you just want to tune in and you kind of just find yourself slowly rooting for. And you see, you know, a big play action fake and you can just feel that wide receiver's coming on that deep post and the quarterback just unleashes it. I love that type of stuff. It's fun to watch an explosive offense. So I have to go with Oregon at my number five. But like I said, they very quickly might make it out of that list as we start to play them more and more in the coming years.
Well, I've got a couple Oregon questions for you. First of all, I've liked Oregon because they hit the big time a few years back. They were the new team, so they, in my mind, they were easy to root for. They also had all the uniforms. Do you like that, Landon? Yes or no?
I am a fan. It's fun for me to see what kind of uniform they're coming out with. Are they coming out with the new one, the silver? I think it's going, you know, funny enough, you bring that up. That used to be the sell for recruits. Everybody used to be like, oh, they want to go to Oregon because they want to put on those 20 different uniforms. I just thought it's funny. Nowadays, that is not at all the sell. It doesn't really matter. Now they got Phil Knight coming out and saying, hey, I have a check and you can write in whatever number you want on it. I want to see a national championship before I die. We clearly do not have that here at Penn State. So like I said, with all that going on, them getting any player they want, I think quickly this will turn into me not wanting to root for them. But these past couple years, it has been fun to see Oregon. And it's always kind of that team that they're out west and they're far away. And it's like, okay, that's an explosive team with fun jerseys, you know, cool stadium, that type of thing. I enjoy them. But like I said, very soon they might make a switch to that top six list that I root against, Jim.
They might, but I will tell you, I'm with you. I love the different uniforms. I think it's very cool. And and I love Penn State's uniforms, the plainest uniforms. And I had I gave this, and I hope I remember it correctly. In my mind, Joe Paterno once said in an interview, he wanted uniforms to be different than everybody else. He said if everybody else had plain uniforms, we'd have fancy ones here. But because everybody else has fancy, we're going with the plain uniforms. But with that said, I still love when the once a year, the generations with the stripe on the pants and the white spikes and cleats. Fantastic. I enjoy that. Last Oregon question. Mm-hmm. Oregon is going to play Ohio State in season. Who are we rooting for in that game?
Oh, I gotta go Oregon. I think it'll be a while before I root for Ohio State. I do have a couple buddies on Ohio State too, but I can't even get behind that, Jim. I can't fathom getting behind Ohio State. I won't do it. But it, you know, I just can't. Ryan Day, I'm not the biggest fan of his. I just have that bad blood between them. I never got to beat them. Maybe that might be part of it. But I can't do it, Jim. I'm not a fan of those guys over there.
I know technically Penn State fans should be rooting for Ohio State because you don't get a chance to play Oregon. It's you want Ohio State to win. You want them to be undefeated when they come into Happy Valley, and then you knock them off. But I'm with you. I just would not be able to find it in my heart. It'd be like, you know, that when stuff starts to come up in your throat, and you're, that's the way I would feel about rooting for Ohio State. It just can't happen. I'd get that terrible taste coming up in my mouth. All right, let's move on. You still have one more to go. You had Michigan, yeah. USC, Florida State, Texas, and Oregon. You got one more to go on your list of favorite teams.
Yep, Jim. We're going to OSU, not the one up north, though. Oklahoma State University. I am a huge Mike Gundy guy. Everybody, I don't know if everybody's seen what happened recently, and I think this is kind of what spurred me to say this. Now, many people don't agree with what he said. Ollie Gordon, his starting running back, who's a star, one of the best running backs in all of college football, got a DUI. Mike Gundy was asked, hey, how are you going to punish him? He said, I'm going to give him the ball 40, 50 times in the first game. That'll be his punishment. Now, whether you against that, you think he should get real punishment, you know, whatever side you fall on. But just the way he kind of goes to bat for his players, that makes me want to root for Oklahoma State. Yes, Jim.
Well, the one thing he did say that was really controversial was driving under the influence.
Yeah.
And Gundy made reference I did it 1,000 times.
Yes, you know? I was about to get into okay. that. It's almost, you know, as much as that, we all know that is wrong. There is that him being just presenting himself as a normal dude and, hey, you know, I make mistakes too, although he definitely should not have admitted to driving drunk 1,000 times. Not a fan of that per se, but for him to just come out and kind of be in defense of his players, he's riding for his guys. They are going to be an explosive offense. To give you one that I'm going to be rooting for this year, we've been talking about last year. For this year, it's Oklahoma State. That just kind of, you know, like I said, as much as that may be wrong, and I agree that, you know, obviously do not want to endorse or condone any type of drinking driving, that just him having his players back and kind of just being that down-to-earth dude, I like Mike Gundy. I like that team. I'm excited to watch Oklahoma State play.
It's funny you talk about that. Anyone my age will have stories from long ago, and that's what you did, and so many people did it. And, you know, those of us who have lived this long, we've gotten away with that. But you're right. It's just something in today's day and age, you don't say it out loud. And he did. So good for him. But I'll tell you what. Playing in that conference without Oklahoma and Texas there, it's a whole bunch of teams that, boy, they're going to beat each other up. It'll be actually a bit of a fun conference to pay attention to, Landon. All right, that is it for our show. We got your 6 favorite teams. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.